Kansas City's downtown has gotten all kinds of attention in the last couple of decades. Downtown has a new entertainment district, a new arena, a streetcar system connecting River Market with Crown Center. The crossroads has boomed with boutique shops, restaurants, creative businesses, studios, and art galleries. But while in many respects these parts of town have flourished, the east side of Kansas City, the area east of Proust, continues to be burdened with abandoned and crumbling homes, vacant lots, high crime, and lack of easy access to grocery stores and other retail. Today, a look at the east side and why it's in the shape it is. We begin this hour with Cindy Serco, the at-large councilwoman for the 5th District and the mayor pro tem of Kansas City. Cindy, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Vicki Notice is also here. She's president of Collins Notice and Associates, an urban planning consulting firm. Vicki, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
Thank you.
Jeff Pinkerton is here. He's senior researcher for the Mid-America Regional Council. And, Jeff, nice to have you, too.
Thanks for having me.
And you, the residents living east of Truce, what do you want to see more of in your neighborhoods, and who's responsible for making it happen? Give us a call, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Well, Jeff, let's begin with you. From a demographic standpoint, the east side is burdened with lousy statistics when it comes to income, education, and jobs. Let's take these one at a time. What can you tell us about the average income on the east side?
Well, the median income east of Troost is just under $27,000. That's going to be less than half of the metro average, which is about $57,000.
Wait, say that again. Less than half of the metro average.
$27,000 east of Troost. Overall in the metro, it's $57,000.
Yeah.
Unemployment rate, as in the region, we're getting down closer to under 6% here recently. We're still in the mid to upper teens east of Troost. A lot of this has to do with educational attainment. It's not as high east of Troost. Over 25% of our adult population have less than a high school degree in east of Troost.
That's over 25%. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just 11% have a bachelor's degree or above. Metro-wide, a third of our adult population has a bachelor's degree or more.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the poverty rate obviously going to be related to these. It's over, it's right at 35% east of Troost, and metro-wide, it's down to about 12%.
Yeah, okay.
So higher numbers, unfortunately.
Councilwoman Serco, as you listen to those stats, those stats tend to speak volumes. What does that say about the potential for the east side when it comes to attracting new development and moving ahead?
Well, first of all, it's a priority of the city to move the east side along. So you have to understand those stats. Development's market-driven. They look at those stats and decide where they're going to make their investment. So what we have to do as a city is create the ecosystem that helps move those stats along, but then preps the area for development and those developers that are willing to take a little bit of risk. You know, we're investing in human capital. We're investing in physical infrastructure. We have done our community capital. We've looked at processes and procedures. We're supportive policies and taking programs out of receivership that we're in receivership that are tools to help us assist in that. So in the last 8 years, there has been a dramatic shift in the focus on east of Troost.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, because a lot of Kansas Cityans would say, Cindy, that the focus has been downtown. They're not seeing much focus east of Troost. Talk to me about that. What more specifically has happened? We know about Congressman Cleaver's Green Impact Zone. That got a certain amount of attention. What's been happening on the east side that people should be aware of?
Well, we have the police station that we've made a huge investment in, and it's where government needs to make investments. Then we go in around that area where the investment's made and do all that we can to work with the community and revitalize that area. We've done that through the Middle Blue River project and the police project. East Patrol was $74 million. An investment in Blue Hills Business Center at 5008 Prospect, where that enables people that are starting their small lawn business, contractor business, to have an incubator setting, to store their equipment, and to get the business lessons that they need. Highland Place Apartments at 18th and Vine, Congressman Cleaver has a quote on what that has done. It's a $4.5 million project that is all but 90% leased.
So things have happened.
Things have happened and are happening.
Yeah. Vicki Notice, again, you're our urban planning sort of expert here. As you hear Jeff tick off all these different stats, demographic stats about the east side, what does that say about the challenge facing planners like yourself when it comes to encouraging development east of Troost?
Jeff's the figures Jeff went over are things I think everybody has to understand why the East Side development has become the challenge that it is. You can't separate it from a lot of parts of our history, which are some of which are obvious and some of which are not. But if you look at those stats and you look at the ones in the future, then I think we have some openings where we could get ahead of the curve a little bit. And for instance, in 10 years, 72% of the all households will have no children. 400,000 people a day are turning 65 or something like that. And so when you look at, you got to look at all of those in conjunction and how they might work together and start with pockets. But the really key thing in working in development and planning for years in Kansas City is the city has to target, and it's very, very hard to do. Our city's very big. It's 322 square miles and only 460,000 people to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have allowed disinvestment or ignored it or walked away from it for 65 years, it doesn't turn around in a day.
Hey, how does a city target in the way that you're describing here, Vicki?
There's a couple of different ways. And the city approach to long-range planning is by what they call area plans and specific area plans. And we did the Vine Street District area plan, which was 9th to 29th and Truce to Prospect. 80% of the houses in that, they've lost 80% of their housing stock. They are, you know, they've been desolated by a lot of public policy, not all of which is the city, a lot of it's federal policy.
Mm-hmm.
So that each of those plans has an implementation plan in it. It's a step-by-step strategy. And in that case, you got to deal with housing, like the stats Cindy just mentioned at 18th and Vine. And you have to deal with the commercial strategy. And part of the problem is there's not enough demand for the commercial development that people really want in their neighborhoods. And it's very difficult for, you know, if you look at Prospect or Troost, they've all been stripped out with commercial stuff, some of which doesn't work very well, and the property values go down and cheaper stuff keeps going in. We don't have enough retail demand to fill up all those corridors anymore.
Let's talk about the retail demand for just a moment here. Kerman joins us now. He lives in the 40th and Prospect area. Kerman, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on Up to Date.
Good morning, Steve.
What do you need on the east side that you don't have right now, Kerman?
I really feel like we need better transportation, for one, to get to the jobs that are outside of the city, to bring the money back into the city. I also feel like we don't have enough of the convenience stores that are on the higher end, such as the Quick Trips, situations like that where you can go in, get your morning coffee, run out like you would do out on Warnell or, you know, in the outlying areas.
You know, Kerman, one of our experts here, Vicki Notais, was just saying that there's a lack of demand for those kinds of services that you're describing. What do you say to that? Does that make sense to you?
Well, in so many ways, yes, because the crime rate is higher in our area, in which nobody can doubt that. And I think the big corporate companies just don't want to come into our neighborhood, and we need to get something to bring them in.
Hmm. Vicki?
One of the issues I think Kerman has raised is it's not that we don't wish we had that development. You talk to any community and they'll put grocery stores at the top of their list. And as Kerman mentioned, quick trips, et cetera, things that make your life easier in your neighborhood. What I meant by demand is there's not enough market to support. Even in the whole city, I mean, Main Street has this problem. Other, you know, we've allowed sort of the suburbanization of the inner city core on retail stuff that's made it very difficult to fill up. And when you can't get
rent,
we've
diluted the inner core as a result of suburbanization.
Yeah,
is what
and
you're saying.
If you look at 18th and Vine historically as the historic Black heritage area in Kansas City, you know, back in the 1930s, $1 turned over 8 times inside that area. So they benefited from what they spent. when they were finally able to move past 27th Street and a lot of the professionals moved out, they spent money other places, but nobody ever came back to spend money there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of issues, but there are ways you can target intersections and cluster development where it will help. You can fill in the rest of that with housing that's desperately needed.
Yeah.
We have to think about a different pattern. The previous pattern worked great when you had all those neighborhoods full of people.
Yeah.
You need more rooftops to make retail work.
Kerman, I appreciate your call.
Steve, can I ask?
Yes, sir.
Is there any push for more development of housing, such as the reversed housing situation where they tore down all the houses on 27th Street to build a new police station? Is there a reverse to move some of that housing just a little south and rebuild those neighborhoods?
Let me get Cindy Serco, our councilwoman here on the panel this morning. Cindy?
Well, we did demolish many houses in the area, but we took and evaluated along with the community and identified a number of houses that we're going to then put out to market, hopefully, to see that the city's made this large investment, the neighborhood's been cleaned up, and now we have some good bones in some houses that need some redevelopment. Who would be interested in that? So we're trying to be creative as we're making city investments in a neighborhood on how do we capitalize on that for the houses in those neighborhoods too. So we're not just demolishing for the sake of demolishing. It's a thoughtful process.
Okay. Does that help, Kerman?
You, Steve.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
Thank you for the phone call.
Steve,
I appreciate it. Jeff, I want to get you back in here. This notion about the lack of density and the suburbanization of the metro and the impact that's had on the city. Are there enough people in the inner core? What can you tell about the emptying out of the inner core and how it's impacting this idea of redevelopment there?
Sure. When you look, you know, retailers are always looking at incomes, and they're looking at rooftops. And they want to go to areas where there are going to be more rooftops. And unfortunately, we've been emptying out our urban core. And so they look at that demographically. Does this place make sense for us to build a shop? They would probably say no. The question I can't answer, the one that still seems to me obvious, we keep building more and more of these big box stores further and further out in the suburbs. If one of them came into the urban core, they would have a captive audience. They would have a large area where they would be the only game in town. So I don't understand where the numbers that drive their decisions on where to locate can be trumped by the opportunity that there are still, despite the income numbers, there's still a lot of people here that need these conveniences. Why not be there?
Steve, can I add that, you know, the Costco store in Midtown is a highly producing store. It does great. When I was at the city, we had to talk them into going east of Main, not even east of Truce.
Because
they
Glover plan you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
And and that's been very successful. And some of that money that's spun off of that has helped, has gone directly into neighborhoods as grants. So that whole program is a good example. But the problem is it costs, and when it costs, you know, $50 a square foot to build something and you can only get back an average of $8.50 or $5 a foot in rent, then you've got a gap that has to be filled by financing. And a lot of And you just can't get the financing in the private sector for this.
You know, help
so
me
it has to be a public.
Help me understand this, Councilwoman Serco. I mean, this notion, let's go back to basics here. You hear a lot of East Side residents, and by all means, if they want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. You hear all this concern on the East Side about the lack of grocery stores. You know, wouldn't a grocery store, at least on my level, it seems like that would be a very attractive development that would draw a lot of people, a lot of customers, a lot of repeat customers. What's the tough nut to crack on a grocery store?
A conversation I've been having for 8 years,
and we're
actually getting there, and it's not easy. But here, the very basics of it, we go back to market. So you've got big, large grocery stores all around the fringe of the urban core of Kansas City, where those people are either driving straight up 63rd Street or riding the bus to the grocery store. So if you're a grocer and you're going to build a new store, your thought process is, well, if I build one in their neighborhood, they're going to quit coming to the big one.
Yeah.
I built out in the suburbs. So, but that doesn't help us as a community. We're a fruit desert. So we started doing things like breaking the barriers for home gardening and home sales and local food markets and the local grow. That started showing that there was a market to buy these products and produce. There is renewed interest and a good, healthy conversation about bringing the grocery store back to Lynnwood. And then we're very involved in the fundraising is happening for a grocery store at 27th and Troost. Mm-hmm. Not easy tasks, but they're going to be achieved, and they are achievable. And those are the ones, we break the barrier and show the market that it will work and that there's value for having this in your community.
Does the city have to subsidize developments like this, the subsidize developments of grocery stores, Councilwoman?
We'll use all the tools that we have to make those things work. You'll see tools through either the federal grant process, a TIF, a new market tax credit. We're looking at every tool that we have, along with fundraising, to actually open the store in partnerships, unconventional ways, because we believe it's necessary and that it is the right of those neighborhoods and that it is going to change those neighborhoods, and the market will see that value is there.
Vicki Notice, what would you add to this whole conversation about grocery stores and why there's a dearth of them on the east side?
There's several reasons, and one of them is the rent base. I mentioned the cost of construction. You look at a dollar store, and there are eight of them on Troost, I think, between downtown and 63rd Street, mm-hmm. because of their market. Mm-hmm. They don't have the materials that the ones in Johnson County have. They don't have stone facades. They don't have nice brick. You know, there's an obvious difference, and it's because the developers do not want to take the risk of developing in a disadvantaged area when they can do the same amount of work someplace else and get a huge rate of return.
Why can't they do both? I mean,
it's not their...
The council has quit letting them give us just the plain old box store and required aesthetics along with passage of their need to mm-hmm. go through the council process.
Yeah.
So we kept allowing them in the last several years to just give us an ordinary box, and then they have to dress up their facade.
But under a lot of the zoning that these corridors are in, they can build a dollar store or any one of these kinds of things by right without ever going to the city for approval.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem, although the guys along Troost have fixed that with a zoning overlay that should help a lot. So there's a lot of tools. But one of the problems is we have tax incentives in the city. There aren't any that are used on the east side that aren't also available someplace else where it's easier to develop and the risk is lower.
That's interesting. Let's go back to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. We're talking about the dearth of east side development in Kansas City, what needs to happen to get it done. David from the Shawnee Mission area. David, good morning.
Good morning. I'm interested in knowing a little bit more, because I do think redevelopment requires the rooftop and taking some risk. But I'm familiar with a program on the Kansas side in the Argentine district, it's Argentine Neighborhood Development Association.
Yeah.
And it's a redevelopment program that has been very successful by redoing the houses and bringing in places like Walmart, that area. And it, you know, really requires someone that's a real go-getter, the Commissioner Ann Merguia.
I was going to say, this is Ann Merguia's sort of baby over there, yeah.
It is, and she's been very successful in being able to do it. And, you know, my question is, you know, why can't we have that same thing happening east of Troost? And also, I think, you know, public school system is another problem that causes people to question whether they want to actually build in that area.
Vicki Notice, what about that? How big of a drag is the school system and all this, and why can't we replicate the Ann Merguia ANDA model on Kansas City's east side?
The school district gets blamed for all kinds of things that it doesn't have anything to do with.
Mm-hmm.
They are dealing with 17,000 kids who live in poverty on a property tax rate that is nowhere near what it is in Blue Valley or Shawnee Mission or Lee Summit,
mm-hmm.
and the places they compete with. And as long as we pay for schools on property taxes, it's going to be unfair. the issue is being able to have families be comfortable in a school district that is improving, which I believe it is. And if you leave it alone for a while and give it some stability, it'll keep improving. But they need tools that other districts don't need. And just like the development on the east side needs tools that other parts of the metro area don't need. And we have to specialize those and tie them together in a strategy. So you look at where the kids under 5 years of age are in the city, you pinpoint how many there are, and you can plan for how many you're going to need in the school district.
And are those tools, does the city have those tools that Vicki Notais is talking about, Cindy Serco?
Well, that's the investment in human capital that we've been doing. And, you know, and it is, it's a variety of things. Club KC, getting that middle school, high school kid in a stable, healthy entertainment venue. 12,000 kids attended that last year. That seems like something really small, but to keep those kids safe, to give them that next chance when they're back in school the next year is huge. We have great partners with the Upper Room and Freedom Schools that are on East of Truce. Upper Room's partnering with Sporting Kansas City through the Swope Park Soccer Village in that ability to be at the village, also get some reading and tutoring, and be in a world-class setting all at the same time to change their mindset. The Urban Neighborhood Initiative is another issue. We have a lot of partnerships going on with Kansas City School District and in every way that we possibly can, and putting that focus there where we can, and the kids. And the mayor's initiative on reading has been huge, and understanding that the earlier we get a hold of our kids in our city, that the better success that they're going to have.
And I gather you're saying that a lot of these initiatives, Cindy, have been overlooked by the public. Lots is going on, and maybe people aren't aware of what's going on.
Well, there's so much going on, and they touch so many different avenues, but it's going to take all of that to really turn the urban core of the city into an area that we all really enjoy and love. And it is important to all of us, the whole entire region, that it's successful.
And they're not big, sexy, glitzy projects that get a lot of attention. They're things that have to be ongoing past Cindy's term, past the mayor's term.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be concentrated for years to do this. And that all that stuff is moving it forward. You just don't hear about it.
Let's go to Liz from the Armor and Paseo neighborhood. Liz, welcome to Up to Date. Nice to have you.
Thank you so very much. I just wanted to make a note that there has been a commitment by Aldi's at 39th and Prospect up and running, and of course at 8th and Paseo, which affords something to the desert, if I may.
What about Aldi's and the impact that might have, Vicki?
She's absolutely right. And this is very tied in with transportation. But when we did focus groups for the hospital at or for Truman Med Center's grocery store at 27th and Troost, you know, it's in the realm that the 9th and 8th and Paseo store is and 39th, that people will get on the bus and go to Walmart and Blue Ridge to get better quality food. And the Aldi's on Paseo has actually bridged that gap for a lot of people. But we need more, and we need to be able to get the same kind of kinds of services in a grocery store. That's what people want. They want pre-prepared meals and dietitians that can help them. And, you know, the operators don't do that because they can pay for those extra services better in the suburbs.
Andy tweeted us this idea. Grocery store profit margin is only 1-3%. Throw in pilferage, insurance, and cart theft, and that's a tough operation to keep running. Jeff Pinkerton with the Mid-America Regional Council. What's Mark's role in sort of focusing on the east side, and what is it planning? What is it doing right now?
Well, Mark, we are the Regional Association of Local Governments. We work with all the counties and cities in the region to even though our board is made up of elected officials that represent a particular jurisdiction, we want them to make sure they have a regional mindset and how important a regional mindset is to improving the quality of life for all of us, regardless of where, what city we live in.
Would that regional mindset include some way to, you know, stop the development of the urban sprawl that seems to go on in southern Johnson County, up north, and other parts of our community that might help begin to concentrate people more in the downtown east side areas?
Sure. We do transportation planning, and one thing that we look at is where the population is going to be forecasted over the next 30 years. And we've done this in the past, and it's been more of the same, more growth out on the fringe, decline in the center core. We have started to see this, and we work with, again, suburban and central city leaders on this, saying things are changing. We're starting to see more and more growth in the downtown area, which we've already talked about, and we're starting to see, instead of 100% of our growth happening on the fringe, just still the majority of it, but some of the growth is going to happen in redeveloped areas.
But you haven't had a lot of sense that leaders out in Johnson County, just to be specific here, mm-hmm. they haven't shown a lot of interest in sort of limiting the sprawl. Or am I wrong about that?
I think you're starting to see, look at what's happening at 95th and Metcalf. That's a redevelopment project. It's still out in the suburbs, but that's where they're trying to focus more development in an area that's already developed that's going to take away from the demand to be further and further out. So I think you are seeing leaders within their jurisdictions look at the whole city and not just making sure they're not leaving a part of the city behind for continued growth the traditional way of greenfield development.
You know, Cindy Serco, if you were queen of the metro, and by all means you should be, right? You know, if you could wave a magic wand, would you limit the sprawl and sort of begin to find ways to concentrate more people in more central parts of the community?
Well, if you get exposed to all of the big picture that I get on a daily basis, you would see the value of making the investment in the circle of your region and then going out. But reality is no one's going to do that. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that. And there's a huge demographic difference between Johnson County and Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a huge economic difference between. And so it is.
You're saying the fight's been waged and maybe the folks who want to focus on concentration have lost.
I don't think that we've lost. I think that there is a new wave of people, a new way of thinking. The next generation, I think, is what will save us. They aren't dependent on cars. They aren't dependent on the big houses. They want a cultural lifestyle, and they want those places that offer that to them. That is why we're seeing that growth downtown. And that growth downtown then bleeds into the neighborhoods around them. They're going to want then not a condo, but a house. But they still want a house that they can walk to their neighborhood market or to their neighborhood afternoon to have a beer and watch the game.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to change that lifestyle. And they're going to want their kids to be in neighborhood schools that they can walk to. And we're going to have to grow with that. We now have seniors that are still living very active lives but don't have the ability or want to drive. The world is changing. We're recognizing that and preparing ourselves for that as a city in the urban core and taking advantage of that. I see what we have is much of an advantage as the suburbans at once saw the greenfield as an advantage.
Yeah.
We are ripe for repopulating the urban core if we're thoughtful about it, if we're deliberate about it, and we don't give up, and we recognize what our problems are and start addressing them now, which we have been doing.
You know, Vicki Notais, you do hear anecdotally from time to time that the artist community that's made the Crossroads home is beginning to drift a little bit, maybe drift to the east side because of higher property values now in the Crossroads. Is that happening? Are we starting to see a movement that way, or is that just sort of...
Yes, and a lot of it's moving to Troost, mm-hmm. and it's sort of an undercurrent that a lot of people don't notice. But in the recent Troost Corridor plan that Mark funded and we did, they want to attract design types and artist types, and that's exactly what they're doing. The other issue that both Jeff and Cindy brought up is that you have to give Mark credit for in the 1990s, they were the first agency that recognized the danger of sprawl and got people to understand that the urban core had to be saved or it was the hole in the donut and everything would fall apart. It took 20 years and a lot of concerted effort from Kansas City, Missouri to shift its emphasis downtown. They took 25% more of their capital improvement dollars to put it downtown to make sure this happened. And they can get criticized for guaranteeing bonds and things like that. But it wouldn't have happened if you didn't do that. The deal that all the neighborhoods made during those conversations and during the master plan development was, we support that. We know that's important. But when you're well on your way, it's the neighborhood's turn. And we need to put as much focus and as much energy and resources on how to do neighborhoods, which are very, very different in terms of what they need. Downtown is well on its way. It's got 20,000 residents.
So it's time to shift the focus is what you're saying, from downtown to the neighborhoods.
Yeah, you can't let it go. I mean, you still have to keep it centralized, but it's time that the neighborhoods got the same amount of energy in what it takes to revitalize them. And it's hard work. People do it separately by themselves. Artists buying buildings on Troost are doing it. People who remain in their houses, even though, you know, half the block has been torn down. Everybody is doing this. They need the weight of the city behind them to target certain areas, even if it's block by block, to repopulate and redensify, as Cindy said.
You know, Jeff, as you go through your statistics there, your demographic statistics on the east side, we just got through a period where the Green Impact Zone was launched and then completed. The project is sort of over now. Mm-hmm. This was Congressman Cleaver's big initiative that took aim at rebuilding sidewalks and curbs and making homes more energy efficient. Maybe the old Bancroft School remodeled for multi-purpose use is an example of this. How much of a difference did all that make? Are you seeing any growth or repopulation as a result of that in that district?
Well, I think we will over time start to see the area come back because of those investments, creating a community that looks like it does west of Troost. Mm-hmm. And I think that emphasis will drive people to see that as an option. One thing we haven't really talked too much about yet is jobs. And one thing the East Side is not lacking in is jobs. There are a lot of jobs.
Is
there are
not
a lot
lacking
of good jobs. There are a lot of good jobs.
Talk to me about that. Where are they?
Well, we have a lot of manufacturing jobs, almost 11,000 manufacturing jobs east of Troost, a lot of healthcare jobs east of Troost.
I thought manufacturing jobs was a big issue. There weren't enough manufacturing jobs east of Troost. East of Troost.
Well, manufacturing as a whole, as we know, is kind of lost employment. It's a field that gets automated very easily. But Kansas City as a whole has done a pretty good job of maintaining its jobs and manufacturing jobs. We got the two automobile plants, which obviously don't come into play here, but there are some manufacturing plants east of Troost. The problem is 80% of the job holders, the people that have these jobs east of Troost, don't live in this area. Mm. And the majority of the folks that live here have to commute outside of the region to get their jobs. One of our callers alluded to that earlier. So to me, that's an issue getting back to the educational attainment. The jobs are there, and they need a certain level of talent, and they're not being able to find that immediately. I think that's a key role for our community colleges to step in and try to work with those businesses to see what kind of skills can we help this community attain that will fit into the jobs that you have right here in their neighborhood.
Councilwoman Circa, we just have a couple minutes left here. Let's begin to wrap up. So what needs to happen next going forward to get the grocery stores to move the ball down the road a little bit when it comes to East Side development? What's your sense?
Well, we need for the grocery stores, we also need some state support, since this is an initiative that we need to push harder than usual. We've had $7 million in street reconstruction on Troost, so we're showing as a city that this is our priority. Troost is a priority. We've done the planning process. I believe it's MCC, don't quote me on that, but we do have a conversation with colleges about jobs and what is needed in the education realm for the jobs that we have here. One of the pure examples, our water department, that employee is getting older and is a very skilled job that doesn't have to have a high education, but we need that talent. And so where is that talent going to come from? So even with city jobs, we're looking at the exact same conversation about how do we prepare our community for the jobs that are coming online very quickly. Vance KC, our new EDC matches the council's priorities. It puts a new focus on how we use our incentives and aligns them with our priorities. And jobs, place-based, and using incentives to go after areas that we find as a priority as a city.
Vicki, no, Tice, I'm hearing some hope here that there is new attention being paid to the East Side. There are jobs there that people don't live in the community, but there are a girding of jobs in the area here. Am I seeing all this correctly?
There's a lot of positive things that are happening, and you know, they don't all happen by accident. I mean, it takes a long time and a lot of planning to do this, but for instance, there's 80 million millennials out there who grew up in the suburbs, don't like the suburbs, thought they were boring, and are all moving into more urban space. That's, you know, they're coming into our downtown and our crossroads and onto Troost and Prospect. And I think those, we've got to plan smart. We've got to be smart about what the future demographics are to capture. And then we have to take care of our older residents who are aging in place in neighborhoods that are deteriorating. There's a lot of ways to do that. And a lot of those are happening and more need to more need to continue.
We're going to continue this conversation again in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, I want to thank Cindy Serco, the at-large councilwoman for the 5th District. She's Mayor Pro Tem of Kansas City. Vicki Notice, president of Collins Notice and Associates. And Jeff Pinkerton, a senior researcher for the Mid-America Regional Council. Thank you all for a very good conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.